Good evening. You're listening to Skip Intro with me, Kelvin Yee. In the studios with me is Ian McNally and Arvind Yuvaraj. Today, we are talking about Zombieland Double Tap.
Welcome to Zombieland. Life is about more than just survival. We were a family. Dysfunctional, sure, but what family isn't?
It felt so good to be on the move again.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Hi, I'm Columbus.
Madison. Is this your dad?
Oh, my apologies, little Elvis.
Okay, is it me, or does he kind of remind you of...
I don't like you at all.
So, again, I didn't quite watch the first one, but how did the old one lead up to the new one that's about to be released on the 31st of October this year?
So, the first movie was... It's weird to think this is 10 years ago this came out. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone was expecting a sequel. Because it wasn't like... A lot of zombie movies are about... society, man. You know, there's like the zombies are a metaphor for disease.
For something bigger.
Consumerism in the Dawn of the Dead one. Dawn of the Dead is a classic. It's the mall and the zombies are like mindless consumers. And Zombie didn't really have that. It was more just a setup for jokes and for funny little rules. And like, I rewatched a little bit of the first one again. And one thing that stood out to me was that kind of, they're all very disaffected. The people who survived are the ones who weren't attached to family or friends. They were kind of like just taking care of themselves. And Jesse Eisenberg's Columbus is endemic of that, in that he has his rules and that's it. The plot for the first movie is he's trying to see if his family's alive, but he even calls them, they're reclusive shut-ins as well. It's not really a bother to him.
Yeah.
And he just runs into these people like Woody Harrelson's Tallahassee, who's looking for the last Twinkie available, and Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin's characters. You know, it was just a series of things that happened. You know, they got conned by the girls, and then they meet Bill Murray. They're looking for somewhere safe to stay, but it's like the safest place is just with your friends kind of thing.
Yeah, one of the best cameos ever, by the way.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's referenced in this new one. And I will say as well, stay after the credits when you get to Zombieland Double Tap. The second one takes up, and it is literally 10 years after the first movie, and nothing's changed. Like, in the same amount of time, it's taken Rick Grimes and his friends to go through about three different groups of people, find a safe place, lose it, find another safe place, have a farm, lose it. Lose an arm? Does Rick lose an arm in the comic? There's a Walking Dead joke in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're reading the comic in this movie. These guys have just kind of hung out.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Like, nothing happens.
Yeah, Wichita, who's played by Emma Stone, is still dating Columbus, played by Jesse Eisenberg. Tallahassee's kind of fallen into a father figure role for Little Rock, who is Abigail Breslin.
Mm-hmm.
And they just live in the White House and hang out.
And that's it?
That's primarily it until... the kind of domestic bliss that the boys are quite happy with starts to wear on the girls. Little Rock is getting a little kind of tired of no company her age, especially no boys.
Angsty teenager kind of thing.
She's not a teenager anymore, man. It's been 10 years. Emma Stone is kind of like, yeah, she's with Jesse Eisenberg. She's happy, but she's still a commitment phobe. So she's kind of, the two of the sisters decide to book it. And they steal Tallahassee's car, which is basically the president's car that he's tooled up.
Yep.
And the boys decide they're going to go, not go get the women back. It's not like that. It's just like, well, we're slightly worried about them. Actually, they don't actually go after them. Sorry, they don't go after them at all for the first part. It's just that when Emma Stone comes back to say her sister has gone off with this hippie who won't shoot zombies. He's a pacifist Zombieland survivor, which is like, how did he survive this long?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the boys decide to go along.
Has it been 10 years in the movie timeline, or is it just 10 years for us?
It's 10 years in the movie timeline.
They've gone through 10 years together.
Drinking nothing but Mountain Dew Red Alert, eating Twinkies and snacks, and just, you know, they gift each other presents for Christmas and stuff like that are all just ex-presidential gifts.
Mm-hmm-hmm.
They just hang out in Zombieland because... you know, the whole thing, like, you know, the whole Walking Dead thing of growing trees and plants, or, you know, starting a farm and starting to fence off and recover stuff, is like, there doesn't seem to be as enough people around to do that.
Okay.
And also, these guys are supremely lazy. They'd rather play jokes and have fun. I think it's rule number 42, enjoy the little things.
Okay, there was this interview with Ruben Fleischer, who's the director, and then...
also the director of Venom.
Of Venom, yeah. So Sean Fantasy, the guy who interviewed him, asked him if he wanted to do anything different with this movie. And he said that no, they just wanted to go back to the same old stuff. Yeah. And they had so much fun making the first Zombieland that they just replicated it this time around. So it has the same soundtrack, the same Metallica, the same
Yeah, Master of Puppets is over there. Master of Puppets is like, I don't think it quite fits at the beginning. It's one of the minor downbeats. After a very brilliant start, they have a little gag with the Columbia logo being attacked by zombies, which is very cool. But yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I wonder if these are characters that like Ruben Fleischer wrote or got the team to write, or whether it's just like they actors started to inhabit their roles more. I can't believe Woody Harrelson is 58.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because he looks younger in this than he does in a lot of other things. Maybe it's just because when you're having fun, it doesn't age you. He is hilarious. He doesn't have the Twinkie thing anymore, but like he gets super annoyed at this hippie guy. He's an Elvis freak. So they end up going to Graceland and this other place where they meet Rosario Dawson, who I fell in love with all over again. She's just amazing in this movie. But he's just, he has so much fun. He sings Elvis songs. Jesse Eisenberg gets really into that. He's almost like a young Albert Brooks. You know, that kind of nebbish, bookish, nerdish character. But he's playing it like it's what he always plays, but he's playing it to the max. And there's a point where they run into some characters who are almost mirror images of themselves. And that
Which they show in the trailer.
It shows in the trailer. So it's like, it's Luke Wilson and I don't know the other actor's name. But that sets up a lot of jokes that you kind of have to be, you know, comfortable in your own skin to do. Because you're like, Jesse Eisenberg's mirror image is like, they're so nebbish. They're training movie quotes, and they have, he has his rules. The other guy has his commandments, like the two alpha male cowboy guys in hats, Luke Wilson and Woody Harrelson, are squaring off, and everyone else is just like, "What the hell?"
They're like SNL versions of themselves,
in a way. And it's just fun. Like, there's a lot of fun. The rules are still there. They still have the nice visual style where you get the letters and the word. The rules essentially appear in the world. So rule number one is cardio. You know, no one survives in the zombie apocalypse unless you know how to run away from people. You got to double tap, which is, you know, you don't just one shot a zombie. You got to make sure that you double tap it in the head to make sure it's down. And these are things that other movies don't do. They do up the ante a little bit this time because they've extended that to the types of zombies. I think they had it in the first one a little bit with like there was fat zombies and there was like more clever zombies. In this, there's like a Homer who they've made them all look like Homer Simpson. Like the first guy who's appeared, he's literally Homer, and like they're chewing on statues. They're absolute idiots.
Okay.
And then there's Hawkins, which are slightly smarter, and then there's ninjas that you don't even see. They don't even see any ninjas in this. But there's a new, smarter, tougher, almost bulletproof zombie called it. They call it the T-800, which is a nice nod to Terminator, and they have to deal with that. But it's, you've got zombies. There's a certain point where they're being attacked where Jesse Eisenberg jumps up into a lookout position and everyone else just starts. He calls like 11 o'clock and it's like bam, 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 bam. And Emma Stone says, "Man, we're getting too good at this. Like, this is too easy for us. We're so used to this by now." There isn't a huge amount of peril. Not for our main characters. They do run into some different people. There's this bubbly, legally blonde style bimbo they run into who spent the last 10 years living in a freezer because zombies don't like it in there, but she's had it set on cold because she couldn't find the off switch. Apparently she survived this long because apparently zombies eat brains and she's a little short in that department.
Isn't that overused though? Sounds like it's overused.
It's okay. It's not, they go in some interesting places with that, but there's not a huge amount of peril in this movie. It's a lot of just fun. I was laughing at it, I was enjoying myself, and it was fun to be with these characters for a little while.
So my question is, I sort of avoided Zombieland 2 because I love the first one. And the first one was fun. I didn't catch it in the cinema. I watched it on TV and it was the best way to watch that movie. I didn't pay much attention to this one because in the sort of, you know, political climate that we're in now, everyone wants to shoehorn messages and morals and moral compasses into their movies. And I wanted Zombieland to just be a no-brain, no pun intended, no-brain action flick that I could watch either in the cinema or at home. So is it that, or is there messaging? Because coming back to that interview that I heard with Ruben Fleischer, Sean Fantasy, the interview asks him if the zombies are metaphors for something else, or if it has like a political agenda to it, because the characters are named according to different states in the United States. And he says no one thought of stuff like that. They just wanted to have fun.
The state stuff is just that it's not, there's no point getting attached. No point sharing first names, because the sooner, it's more likely you're going to die in 5 minutes. So there's no point. And I think they're looking back at the first movie, there is that element of like, I'm alone with no friends. That's what kept me alive. I wasn't worried about going back for the person who's now being eaten, which is when you make the mistakes, you know, when you, which is a bit of an awful message in this day and age. But the first movie and this movie also come around on that. They come around to, like, the first movie is looking for family and this movie is looking for home. Mm-hmm. But it defines home as something you wouldn't normally expect, and it's coming to terms with the people around you and dealing with that, as opposed to looking for some mythical home out there, whether it's the White House or Graceland.
Yeah. So the perfect popcorn movie.
Perfect popcorn movie, yeah. You're not going to be, you don't have to worry about, you know, reading Sociology 101 to go in and understand it. It's just, they kill zombies and it's fun. Everyone in the cinema was laughing. Everyone was smiling.
If you have any thoughts on Zombieland, you can send that to us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. You can also send that to us on social media. We're at SkipIntroMY. More after this, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Hello, it's Skip Intro with Kelvin Yee, Ian McNally, and Arvind Yuvaraj. We are talking today about Zombieland Double Tap. So, just on this note, I just wonder if zombie movies, and this one in particular, still sort of have that appeal that they did, you know, maybe just a few years back.
Mm. I think they do. You have to do something fresh with it. Or in the case of Double Tap 2, don't. Just do the exact same thing again. Yeah. It's the rare example of a movie where I say it's okay to do that.
The formula works.
Yeah. I mean, there are hundreds of podcasts with me saying, you know, look at what's been come before and do something on top of that. The first Zombieland did that enough that it carries through into this. The floating letters, the rules are pretty savvy. Like, that means you've looked at other movies. Always check the back seat. Seatbelts, you know, for safety, you should, even if there's not a zombie apocalypse, you should probably wear a seatbelt at all times.
Yeah.
Always check the back seat. Mm-hmm. Travel light. Rules to live by. I think there is still an awful lot to be said in that area. There's different ways you can do it. I mean, even now, at the time, it was revolutionary, but now Shaun of the Dead is, I don't even know how old that movie is, but that was revolutionary for its time, but that's now like the pinnacle of the horror romantic comedy.
It's the benchmark
movie. That's the benchmark. Yeah, right? Yeah. At the time, it was like the scrappy underdog that no one had heard of. Mm. And we got some tweets in from people. So Faizad did say Shaun of the Dead, it's a no-brainer for like zombie movies.
Although no one official is prepared to comment, there's panic on the streets
of London. As an increasing number of reports of
serious attacks on
people who are literally being eaten alive.
A witness reports are sketchy. One unifying detail seems to be that the attackers in many instances appear to be
dead excited to have with us here a sensational chart-topping.
That still is so inventive and so clever, and just the reframing of Simon Pegg hungover walking to the shops.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one day it's normal and it's like they're modern day zombies, as in people just minding their own business, and the following day they're actual zombies.
Yep,
and him just not paying attention.
Because he thinks they look the same.
They look the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that did that wasn't just jokey, that I think maybe made it stick out, has a higher profile a little bit than Zombieland, was that it went very dark in the last act.
Yeah.
Like super dark that you was not expecting. But it was heartfelt, and because you had had fun with these characters, it was about that again, family. And I mean, the zombies are just a threat to be there, but it's the reactions of the people that you have.
That matter most.
Drama is conflict, so you need some outside source to just trap people in a room and have them fight against each other. Mm-hmm. And Shaun of the Dead did that pretty well. One I really like, which actually came out quite a while ago, was Warm Bodies. Had you heard of that one?
Yeah, that's a zom rom-com
as well. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a weird mix, but I really like that. That was Nicholas Holt and
Nicholas Holt. Yeah, that's
John Malkovich was in it for a bit. Theresa Palmer, Rob Corddry was in it, who's always funny.
Yeah,
and this was the zombie story told from the zombie's perspective.
Yeah,
and I thought that was really, I really liked that. And it's also like he's called Orr, she's Jay. It's Romeo and Juliet. You know, mm-hmm, they're star-crossed lovers, one of which is dead. And just that idea of like, he has thoughts, but he can't articulate them. All he can say is, and like people go through their jobs. Like, I think they're at an airport and like the security people are still walking around with the wands as zombies and like just swiping random things.
The TSA. Yeah,
yeah, the TSA. It was kind of sweet. And then the power of love brings him back from the brink into a new type of zombie.
I'm lonely. I'm lost. Wait, I'm literally lost. I've never been in this part of the airport before.
I don't understand, but he's different. He's changing, and he's learning to be human again.
Oh, man.
I love that movie because it sounds like something, or it played like something, of someone who watched a zombie movie and went, what if we made this a Disney movie instead? Like, you know, the person who's always like in a coma or sleeping or in some sort of danger needs that special kiss or that touch of a loved one, and they wake up from their slumber or whatever. But so this played like that. Yeah. Very interesting concept. I thought it would play differently, but it's funnier than I thought it would be. Like you said, Rob Corddry is always like, you know, he's amazing. amazing. No. But Nicholas Holt as well. I started to like him from that movie. So that's a unique zombie movie. I don't think anyone has replicated that sort of formula since. I think maybe because you can't do it. It's difficult to do. But that's a good movie, yeah.
I guess I just also want to bring up not something that's lighthearted necessarily, but I thought I really enjoyed watching Train to Busan, which had all... Yeah, me too, right? Yeah. It had all the elements of like, oh, the zombie is an ever-existing threat, but you also had the whole theme of family, and they... I think what really works for the plot is that they do have a final destination to get to.
Mm-hmm. Train to Busan, yeah, I love the claustrophobia of just being stuck in that...
On a train.
And especially if there's zombies on it. And it's so creative how they get the people to escape and how they get them to hide.
It's a hockey team on the team? Is it a hockey team on board?
It's a hockey team or some sports team. There's some sports team.
They have weapons from that. They get the powers. Yeah. There's the thing where they're like climbing in the overhead bins to get past the zombies.
Yeah.
It's very, very inventive.
Yeah, and like most zombie movies, the main villain aren't the zombies themselves. It's actually the people who you come into contact with. There's always the bad guy who's human, who's the worse villain than the zombies. So I like that. And that's like standard zombie trope. Another one that I wanted to throw out was Overlord. Overlord, J.J. Abrams produced. It has so much of Lost in it in the beginning.
Mm.
And then it just goes insane. Like midpoint, you have like German Nazis, and then you have zombies.
Super zombies.
And it's all sorts of weird experiences. Experiments that they're doing.
There's that point where like one of the soldiers gets bitten or infected.
Yeah.
Oh no, they inject him with a needle, right? Because they think he's dead. He's dead, and they try it out.
Hmm.
And there's a point where his head, he's got like a creak in his neck, and he snaps his neck so hard, his head kind of comes off and is hanging off his body, and it's like. Ooh.
Oh yeah. The scene, there's so much of suspense when they're in like a small shack, like all huddled up, and there's someone, someone's aunt or grandmother or something's on the top floor, and she's making weird sounds, and that's the first time you go like, oh, so is this like a zombie thing? Is this like a mutant thing? Which they resolve. So that's another one that I want to throw out. Overlord's for me, it's a good zombie movie.
Mm. One that similar to Zombieland in that it's just fun. Was one that was part of the Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez Grindhouse double feature movie, which was Planet Terror, which when I heard about this and the idea, like, I don't think it came here in the cinemas to be the full 3-hour movie. Yep. So like, it's two movies with a load of trailers in between that's supposed to be representative of Grindhouse cinema from the 70s.
Admiral.
I got bit.
Bit by what?
If I told you, you probably wouldn't believe me.
They're not living. They're not dead.
The hell are the bodies?
They're gone.
They're not stopping.
The hell is going on?
And it's just fun. It's like, it's Robert Rodriguez, so it's got a Latino hero who's short, and everyone gives him stick for being a short guy, but he's like, ends up being the hero. Rose McGowan's in it, but like, she gets her leg amputated and so puts a machine gun there.
She's on the poster.
Yeah, she's on the poster. Yeah, it's iconic kind of poster kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's just... really great little cameos, and just like, you know, there's because of the Grindhouse thing, there's like, you get to big plot points and it just goes scene missing, because it's like those old films used to have film reels, and then they come back and they've already got the thing they need. It's like, right now we can go on to the next stage of the movie.
That's smart. Like
they just cut out an act, so it plays with the form really well. The zombie stuff was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And just mayhem as well, of just like, it's one of those movies where you can cheer at the zombies being blown apart, because it's just so visceral, is an overused word, but it is visceral, and it is fun to watch that when it's, you know, mindless lumps of flesh as opposed to real people in a movie.
Something serious and stuff. Speaking about fun, Anna and the Apocalypse is a zombie musical.
Justin Bieber's a zombie.
It's so fun, and it has a story of a group of students who wake up one day and everyone's turned into zombies. So they have to get from the place that they work, which is a bowling alley, to their school. And along the way, you get like musical numbers and dance scenes and songs, and then they're good guys, bad guys. And again, once again, the people are the bad guys. The zombies aren't the bad guys.
Yeah.
So the tropes are there, but I don't think I've ever seen a zombie musical. So this was super refreshing.
You can let us know your favorite zombie movies. Drop us a note at movies@bfm.my. And you can also find us on social media. We're @skipintromy. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.